Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy mini Monday. Just another mini Monday. My name is Ian Allred. I am a mini Gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer. I am a mini Gleek as well.
Woo! Welcome to us listening to voicemails, reading your emails, having a good time. Letting you guys do most of the work. So
I love this day.
Let's get into it.
Right. This episode is about our last episode, Never Been Kissed. I feel like we never mention what minisode, you know what I mean?
How fun would it be if we did it at random?
Yeah, like this one is for acapellos. But no one knows.
No, but that's the theme every week. Mm-hmm. We're like, and now this week's episode is for This Is How We Do It. It's acapellas again, bitches.
Cannot outrun the acapellas.
No matter what people say and this what people email in, we just talk about acapellas every Monday.
Jeez.
Anyways, so first up we have Annie. She has some strong opinions about acapellas, season 1, episode 3.
Thank you, Annie.
Hello. My name is Annie. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. I went to Warren Central High School, which is the same high school Ryan Murphy went to. From my experience, from the people that I know, we hate Ryan Murphy because he does not even acknowledge where he came from. We live in it's the east side of Indianapolis, which is like a lower income area. And it's just like, he just doesn't have any pride of where he came from, but like, it's a very prideful community, very tight knit in my experience. And so we hate him. Okay.
That guy.
Yeah. Annie, I agree. Acapellas should have talked more about Indiana. I'm 100% in agreement with that.
Could you imagine having, do you have any, like, anyone famous from your high school? I don't. But if someone was, like, super famous from my high school and was, like, a mega turd about it, I would want to murder him. That, for legal reasons, that's a joke. I'm not going to murder you, Ryan Murphy, I promise.
My high school is where no one, like, very famous went there, but David Spade went there, who, like, you know, was on SNL for a while. He voiced Cusco in Emperor's New Groove. He was on Just Shoot Me.
Yeah.
Anyways, and when my sister was going to high school there, the principal, Benchwarmers had just come out, which was David Spade was in. And the principal was like, and we're going to contact David Spade and see if he'll come and talk about it. And then it was never brought up again. And you know for sure that David Spade was like, heck no, am I going back to my old high school and talking about bench warmers?
Yeah.
Also, very famous, don't get starstruck, everyone, an A-plus list celebrity, Chelsea Staub from TV's Jonas, a Disney Channel show with the Jonas Brothers, and also from ABC Family's Baby Daddy. She went to my high school for exactly 1 year, and she sat at the same table as my brother Alex in their English class. And then I one time on a field trip went to LA, and we were doing like LA things. And we went to see a taping of Baby Daddy, weirdly enough, which is the show that Chelsea Staub is in. After the taping, all of the actors like bow as if it was like a play and you all applaud. And then the ones that like, you know, feel like it, they'll kind of hang around and you can like talk to them. And so Chelsea Staub was there and I was like, I have another Chelsea Staub story. And I was like, I went up to her and was like, hey, you went to Saguaro High School, right? And she was like, yeah, I did. And I was like, you sat by my brother in English. And she was like, what's his name? And I was like, Alex Allred. And I could tell she was trying to be nice about it. But she was like, I have literally no clue. Which Alex will back that up. His freshman year, he was incredibly quiet. But another Chelsea Staub story. You guys, this is just Chelsea Staub and acapellas. That's what our theme is. I don't have any like tangible proof, but I am 99% certain that Chelsea Staub called security on me in Disneyland one time.
Shut up. What? Huh?
Okay. Wow.
I've never heard this story in my life.
I'm really just derailing this minisode. We are one voicemail in, and I have already made it about myself. Gosh, we haven't even gotten into
the meat of acapellas yet. I'm pissed.
I know. There's so many people had such strong opinions about acapellas and how William Schuster was their sexual awakening in that episode. Yeah, we will get to it, I promise. I was in Disneyland with my sister in like 2008, 2009. Like it was the like Jonas and Good Luck Charlie era of Disney Channel. And it was like I was of the age where I was old enough that I didn't really watch Disney Channel anymore, but I was young enough that I still knew what was happening on Disney Channel. Like right now, I could not tell you a single show airing on Disney Channel. But like end of middle school, beginning of high school is when you're like, you don't really watch it, but like you're aware of it.
Yeah.
And so we got off Pirates of the Caribbean, my sister and I, and we're exiting. And in the exit, there's all of these men that are like kind of dressed nice. And we're like, what's going on here? And then we look and they're standing around Jason Dolly, who plays the brother on Good Luck Charlie, and Chelsea Staub, who played I saw one episode of Jonas, who played some girl on the Jonas Brothers TV show. I don't know. Anyways. And my sister and I were like, those two are like Disney Channel stars. Mm-hmm. We're like, they were clearly like they were going to go on Pirates of the Caribbean and they were entering through the exit so they would be left alone and they could like get on the ride. And so we were idiots and we're like, well, how many times do you run into a Disney Channel celebrity? Like we have to do something. And so we couldn't remember Chelsea Staub's name. And we were like, we want to shout out to them. But it will make, of course, we thought that it was so important to her that, you know, this like 13-year-old with a bowl cut knew what her name was. And so we were like, we feel bad if we don't know who she is. Like we recognize her, but we don't really know who she is. So we stared at them for far too long, trying to remember what her name was. And they kept eyeing us that they were like, these two ugly tweens are up to something. And so then we were like, okay, now it's weird. So we were like, let's just do it. So then my sister was like, Jason. And they looked and they were like, oh, hi. And Chelsea Staub waved at us. And then we felt so bad that we couldn't say her name because we couldn't remember it. So we left and literally we walk out of the ride and I'm like, her name is Chelsea Staub.
Yeah.
So what a normal person would do is just be like, oh, well, we saw Jason Dolly and Chelsea Staub. I guess that's like a fun story to tell at our middle school parties.
Sure, sure.
Aaron and I, not being normal people, were like, of course, it is going to eat Chelsea Staub alive.
Oh,
that
no.
This These like greasy 13, 15 year olds didn't know her name. It is going to haunt her. It is going to hurt her self-confidence. She is going to be in therapy 10 years from now and be like, and I was in Pirates of the Caribbean and they knew Jason, but they didn't know me. And so we were like, we have to wait here until she comes out so that we can say like, hey, Chelsea, and we can save her like thousands of dollars on therapy. This is a true story. And so we are waiting outside of the Pirates of the Caribbean exit. And we're like, they're taking a very long time. Like, we just got off this ride. It's like 10 minutes.
They're probably going
long.
Like three times.
They're taking their sweet time. And then, you know, like a man who is suspiciously well dressed for being in Disneyland comes out and he like comes out of the ride and then he just stands there. And he gets on his phone and he's just kind of like on his phone standing there. And me and my sister were like, that's suspicious.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird. So then eventually we were like, I guess Jason Dolly and Chelsea Staub like live in Pirates of the Caribbean now. Like they're never
they never left.
So we moved to another area of New Orleans Square and which is where that ride is in Disneyland, everyone. And then the nice dressed man on his phone also moves. And we were like, hold on. So then we do that thing you do when you think a car is tailing you. And we purposely just will like move somewhere else.
Yeah.
And pull, and we're like, let's go over here and talk. And every time he would be just far away enough that like he was doing his thing, he would just like be at a table and he would be on the phone. Like clearly he's occupied, but he would always sit in a position where we were in his eye line. And we were like, oh my gosh, Jason Dolly and Chelsea Staub think we are like stalkers and have called their security on us and are having them watch us to make sure that we are not going to assault them when they leave Pirates of the Caribbean. And so then we were like, well, this is just humiliating. All we wanted to do was save Chelsea Staub's self-confidence by letting her know we knew her name. Frankly, we have only seen one episode of her TV show. We are not big fans of hers. But then we were so humiliated that we left. And like once we left the area, he stopped following us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
I have
Chelsea
several
Staub,
questions.
Yes.
Where were your parents?
My mom was saving a spot. My dad wasn't there. My dad's not big on Disneyland. He will go, like, he will go with the family.
Yeah.
But, like, if he is going to take time off work, he's going to take time off work for, like, a vacation that he's excited about.
Yeah, sure.
But my mom was saving a seat for, like, the fireworks or, like, Fantasmic or something.
Oh, okay, sure.
And so, like, she was off there, and Aaron and I had just been, like, let loose to wreak havoc and traumatize Disney stars.
I love that for you. Jeez Louise.
Well,
Chelsea Staub, if you're listening, I apologize for him.
Chelsea Staub, if you're listening, I do know your name. And fun fact, after you called security on me, 3 years later, you and I had a conversation face to face. I hope you remember that.
You didn't even apologize?
Can you imagine? I was like, Venice. Hey, Chelsea Staub, do you remember my brother? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, do you remember the time that I stalked you at Disneyland and you called security on me? How about that? Mm. All right. Moving on.
Up next, we have a email from Claire.
Hi, team. Thank you for sharing your work with the world. My name is Claire, she, her, hers, and for me, recovering Gleek is the understatement of the century. I can't tell you how much your podcast means to me. Like many people, Glee changed my life. It was my only source of identity growing up, and I clung to it for dear life. I will out myself a little bit here, as I was a small fraction of the force to be reckoned with that was the Glee fandom on Twitter. Our activity led to ship names eventually being recognized within the Glee universe, a decision which I believe was the result of a, quote, healthy combo of Ryan Murphy's ego being fueled by teenagers' desperate attempt to be seen.
That is tea.
I live tweeted every episode and shipped Clayne from the very beginning from my Twitter account, appropriately named Claire Colfer. I was sobbing / crying while watching each episode from start to finish. I remember demanding that no one enter the living room while I was watching it.
I love that.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, Glee for me really took place of a hobby or lifestyle. Mm-hmm. The way I talked about Glee was how professional athletes would talk about their sport. The next morning following an episode, I would immediately listen to the music from the episode on repeat on the bus to school. We didn't have cable or however you record live TV, so I recorded every episode on DVD as if they were home videos, including the commercials, with the intention that I would give them to a museum someday. Claire, ring, it's that. The Smithsonian.
We're the museum.
They're like, we have an empty space between the ruby slippers and the original Kermit puppet. Could you put your Glee collection in there, please?
We need the Fox, the Fox we need commercials. To know
what commercial aired during Acapellas.
The people want to know.
They are demanding it. All right. I collected Glee shirts wherever I saw them for sale and made homemade ones out of puff paint as well. I would wear a Glee shirt every Wednesday in preparation for the episode to come that evening. When it wasn't, quote, Glee Day, as I called Wednesdays, I wore exact outfit replicas that the characters would wear on the show across all genders, because as Kurt said, fashion has no gender.
Also tea.
Glee was all I could talk about. I would talk about the show to my teachers, classmates, and even included references to episodes and characters in my homework.
I love that.
But possibly the most cringeworthy of them all was during high school while wearing Glee memorabilia head to toe every Wednesday. I would stand in front of each of my class periods at the start of class and announce that Glee would be airing tonight on Fox at 7 p.m., both with and without the teacher's permission.
Dude, Ryan Murphy owes you money, dude.
For real. You were giving him advertising. You were the commercial. Oh,
you should sue that guy for emotional damages and how much time you put into it, and also free advertising.
Random people at school literally knew me as the Glee Girl. I picked Elizabeth as my confirmation name because it was Kurt's middle name.
Sweetheart.
That's like the TikTok. That's like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry for Jewish listeners. What is the thing they have to say at their bat mitzvah?
I think they read from the Torah.
Yeah. My apologies to our Jewish listeners. I know that I have been to exactly one bar mitzvah in my life. I know that you like read something from the Torah. I don't know what it's called. I apologize. But there's that TikTok of the girl who posts her home video because she was so into Glee that she sang what she was supposed to read to the tune of Don't Rain on My Parade.
I love that video so much.
Excellent. Anyways, back to Claire. At 12 years old, I remember earnestly dreaming that my first tattoo as an adult would just say Glee. And you know what? At 22, a very small part of me is still considering it. Oh, my romantic obsession with Chris Colfer and Klain? Turns out my love for Chris and shipping Klain is because I was actually gay the whole time.
I love that.
Glee is also the reason I was able to explore my identity and realized I had a crush on my best friend like Brittany and Santana. After we watched Glee the concert movie in theaters, I came out to my crush and my best friend while we were at our other friend's house. They both took it extremely well and were really supportive considering we were barely 12/13. I like to think Glee made that moment possible. Like I said, recovering Gleek is something I take to heart considering how deep my obsession ran. Oh my god, I just remembered, in addition to all that stuff I already mentioned about Glee days, I would also carry around all my Glee DVDs and CDs and merchandise with me to school all day because I didn't want to leave it all alone at my house while I was at school. My parents should have just gotten me a pet or something. What was wrong with me? OMG. I'm not going to lie to you. I genuinely didn't realize how much I was obsessed with Glee. It really seemed normal to me at the time. It's really a miracle I wasn't bullied at school. Holy shit, I had some good friends.
I love those friends.
No hard feelings if you never decide to use this email. It's pretty far out there, Claire. It was just enough right in here.
It's awesome.
Overall, this was genuinely really therapeutic to just talk about and get this out in the open. It was really reflective to revisit my old childhood security blanket through my now adult perspective. Sending so much love and tons of forehead kisses. P.S. I just realized Quinn's baby Beth turns 11 this year.
That is crazy.
That's disgusting.
Claire, thank you so much for sharing that. I cannot wait to, like, have other people look at those photos because hear me out. I am obsessed with that. I love that so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Claire, that was incredible.
Thank you for taking us on that journey.
We'll just wish you nothing but support on your recovery process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I just love how drastically Glee rewired the brains of an entire generation.
Yeah.
Insanity. Wow.
Well, heck, thank you. Up next, we have an email from Dominic.
All right. Hi, my name is Dominic, and I use he, they pronouns. I'm autistic, and Glee is, unfortunately, one of my hyperfixations right now, which means this trash fire of a show is on my mind 24/7, and I constantly want to be consuming content from it, so I can't explain how rad it is that I found this podcast. I just rewatched all of Glee, and a lot of it was psychological torture. So being able to consume Glee content without having to watch anything to do with Ryan Murphy or his traumatic fever dream of a show is fantastic. Anyway, on to my question. Since my boyfriend and I are both Swedish and gay, we love ABBA.
International listener!
The problem is that he absolutely adores Mamma Mia, and I cannot stand it. It's great songs strung together by a low-effort plot, and is possibly the most boring movie musical of all time.
Oh, whoa!
So, my question is, if they did a Mamma Mia Glee episode, Mamma Glia?
Mamma Glia.
How would you cast it? And how do you think Ryan Murphy would cast it? Lots of love, or however you're supposed to end emails, Dominic.
All right. So I just have what I think. I haven't written down what I think Ryan Murphy would think, but I'm sure I can come up with it on the fly. Okay, so hear me out, you guys. I love the Mamma Mia movie musical. I think it's just lots of fun. And I love to smile, you know? So first I have Sophie. Sophie, to me, was a very easy choice. I have Tina Cohen-Chang. I think Tina would be a great Sophie. Up next, I have Donna, and I put Mercedes in the Donna spot. And then I have Tanya. Tanya, obviously, no doubt, no doubt, has to be Santana, obviously, right? Thank you, Ian. He's nodding on the other side of the camera. and then for Rosie, I put Quinn. I think Quinn would be a cute Rosie. And then I have Sam. Do you know Sam? Sam is like the main dad.
Is he Pierce Brosnan?
Pierce Brosnan, yes.
Great.
I put Sam as Sam.
Okay, that's destiny.
I think he'd be cute. Also, Sam with Mercedes, I can't help it. I gotta ship it. and then Harry is...
Colin Firth.
Yeah. Thank you. I put Blaine as Harry. And then Bill is the one with the boat, the Skarsgård one. Mm-hmm. I put Mike. I thought Mike would be really cute. And then Sky, I put Artie. I think Artie would be pretty cute. Like, I wasn't jealous before we met. Mm-hmm. I think that would be cute, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Allie and Lisa, who are like the two friends, what?
Are Zemio and Karofsky.
No. Yeah, they are, actually. No, I put Britt and Rachel just because I hadn't put them anywhere. And then there's a guy who's always trying to get with Tanya and mm-hmm.
Does your mother know?
Yeah. Uh-huh, thank you. I put Finn.
Okay.
I just think that would be cute.
I guarantee that if Glee did Mamma Mia, that they, even though it is a high school doing it, that they would make the adults be adults because Glee loves robbing the students.
Glee loves that.
I think that Will would be Pierce Brosnan and Emma would be Donna. And then I think that like Carl would be, I don't know which one he would be, if he'd be Harry or whatever the heck the other guy is.
I think he'd be Harry.
He'd be Harry. And then is there even like a third male lead, like Ken Tanaka? Like who else would even be in there?
Maybe what's his face? Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. Brian Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I think that Sue and maybe Beast would be Rosie and Tanya. Like Sue would be Tanya, Beast would be Rosie.
Oh, wait, Sue as Tanya? That's revolutionary. Right? I'm obsessed with that.
I think that's what that's what I think Ryan Murphy would do.
Take it easy.
Dominic, just to validate you, I also don't like Mamma Mia. Anyways, I have said this before. Mamma Mia is a show that I would be in a second.
You would be so good in Mamma Mia too. You got Mad Island Dad energy.
That's accurate. I would absolutely adore to be in Mamma Mia in a heartbeat. Do I want to pay money to see Mamma Mia? Not really.
Absolutely. No. I'm obsessed with it. Well, thank you for your question. Up next, we have an email from Rin.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Rin, and my pronouns are they, them. Just finished your Never Been Kissed episode. First of all, thank you so much for this podcast. It literally brings so much joy to my life, and I feel like I'm really y'all's friend. I just want to say that I am in the small, unpopular part of the fandom where I really do not like Blaine. I have a feeling that I'm going to disagree with y'all more and more as we get more into season 2 because of this, but it's okay. Because I think we're all valid, and there's a lot of reasons to love Blaine. I initially loved Blaine like everyone else, but to be honest, the reason the character bugs me is because Blaine feels like a gay character written for straight people. Even if you look at the Glee fan base, most of Blaine's fans aren't gay or bi boys, but girls who experience attraction to men thirsting after Blaine. And probably a huge part of that can be attributed to the fact that a straight man is playing Blaine, so it's easy to thirst after Darren Criss, and to be honest, that's a problem in its own right, but Glee was made during a different time, so I try not to think too hard on that. As Blaine becomes a bigger character, it's clear that he's less flamboyant and feminine than Kurt, and obviously there are many gay men who are more masculine, and I'm glad Glee has a variety of representation for different gay men and doesn't just have stereotypical representation. The problem is that Glee really pokes fun at Kurt for being feminine over and over again, and basically constantly puts Blaine up on a pedestal for being so mask and dreamy until way later in the show. And it sort of establishes this fact that Kurt is bullied not because he's gay, but because he's feminine, because he defies typical gender expectations. At no point do they really write Blaine with the same treatment. Which I know Glee isn't that serious of a show, and the writers aren't responsible to how teens interpret the show. It's just generally frustrating because Blaine was really such an important representation for LGBTQ youth, especially to teen me, who is from a super small conservative town where there was literally only one out gay kid in the whole town. Blaine and Kurt were the first gay characters teenage me had seen on television, and I remember me and my friend who is also gay, both of us super closeted, loving Blaine so much and both of us trying really hard to not be feminine and stereotypically gay like Kurt. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be the type of gay people who are more palatable and well-liked like Blaine was, and it honestly took both of us well into our 20s to start letting ourselves just be flamboyant and feminine the way we wanted to and not being ashamed of it. Of if we were the type of gays that the straights made fun of. And I really do attribute a huge part of it to the fact that I was learning about my gender and sexuality while only really having Kurt and Blaine as gay representation. Anyway, I'm sure my opinion might be a little too nitpicky and about personal trauma, but I just am not a huge fan of Blaine. But I think I can say that Blaine is a great Glee character. I just personally don't like him that much. Again, I love this podcast so much. Please start a Patreon ASAP so I can give money for keeping me entertained, Rin.
Well, thank you, Rin, for that message.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we started these minisodes. We love We love hot takes. We love other perspectives. And I think I think you do have a very strong point. I think largely due to the fact that Darren Criss was like Ryan's golden boy.
Yeah.
Blaine throughout the show, it just never stops winning. He just consistently wins and wins and wins. And because Ryan Murphy loves to watch Chris Colfer cry, Kurt can never catch a break. And it is true, like, Kurt gets called lady all the time. And so it does, like, really feel like because Blaine keeps winning and Kurt keeps, you know, keeps being traumatized over and over again, that there is kind of that underlying subtext of, like, it's because Kurt is more feminine and, like, that's something that you should hide about yourself.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you for that message.
On to a differing opinion about Blaine.
And we can all have different opinions. That's the fun thing about art, too, is, like, we all can interpret things differently.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, art is subjective. No one's opinion on a piece of art is actually true. everyone is just interpreting it their own way. So here's a different interpretation from Christina.
Hi, guys. My name is Christina. You can use the pronoun she, her for me. And before I get started, I just wanted to say that I absolutely love the podcast. And I really think that you guys should do this to other TV shows in the future because it's amazing. So on to the episode. The only person I really want to talk about is Blaine. When I first watched this episode, I was very in the closet at the time. I wasn't even out to myself. And to see a portrayal of a gay person who had already gone through like a lot of the hard parts of coming out and how he was like happy with who he was and very proud to be gay was really important to me as a gay woman. Now, when I think about it, I'm very happy that I got to see that portrayal, especially since most of the time in media, gay characters are usually very ashamed of their sexuality. And even on this show, you see that a lot. I also wanted to come here and refute Ian's claim that first kisses are not romantic. I think my first kiss was very romantic. I was 13 and it was under fireworks. But according to Kurt's logic, it doesn't account because I'm a gay woman and that was with a man. And my first kiss with a woman was an absolute nightmare. So jury is out on that one. Bye, guys.
Straight up. First kisses, they suck.
We also, EP Tiff Marco Polo'd me after listening to the episode and she was like, my first kiss was romantic, so up yours. Really? I said what I said and I stand by it, everyone. Yeah, I'm not no retracting
way.
That.
No way.
Anyways.
I don't even think I've had like a first kiss with like a partner that was good. Even people that I had dated, like at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just a bad kisser. Kissing's You're like, weird.
I actually don't think I've ever had a good kiss in my whole life. Weirdly, every single person that I kiss is bad at kissing. I don't know what the... there must be a common threat there.
Huh. Shut up.
Anyways, thank you, Christina.
I love the idea. Like, I mean, I think so often we see queer characters truly suffering on TV. And I think... You know, we like to see that because it feels true to life, but it is nice to see just a character who's like not ashamed, just living their life, already done the hard part and is like truly a beacon of hope for Kurt and in turn a beacon of hope for young queer kids out there. So, yeah. Thank you, Christina. Up next, we have a voicemail from Charlotte.
Hi, I'm Charlotte and I'm a Gleek. I'm from Canada, so international listener.
International listener!
I haven't listened to Never Been Kissed yet, so I don't know if you go into detail about this, but I would love to hear your thoughts on how, though most of the Krakowski storyline is handled quite well, the fact that the actual, you know, assault, I don't feel is handled as well as it could be, as it's something that's really traumatizing for Kurt and probably causes his lack of wanting to be intimate later. And it's just kind of almost brushed aside because of the death threat that comes later. And also, I just finished watching the minisode where you talk about him, Heathers, and putting Krofsky and Azemio as the Kurt and Ram. And all I can say is that made me think of Krofsky singing You're Welcome to Kurt. And it made me very uncomfortable, but also I really wanted it. So thanks. Bye.
Yeah. The Kurt Krofsky storyline is a lot to handle. And can you imagine like 1 week being absolutely like sexually harassed and assaulted and then death threats the next week? Yeah, I think mixed feelings about that because I know that they're trying really hard to like get Kurt to, spoiler alert, leave McKinley. It just is all so fast. And, you know, they don't even talk about how, like, the implications of, like, that happening to you and, like, dealing with, you know, the aftershocks of that kind of thing, you know? I don't know.
I have a lot of opinions about this that will be talked about in future episodes because they have to do with future plot points. So stay tuned.
But thank you, Charlotte. Up next, we have not a voicemail. It is an email from Fig.
Hi, friends. I'm Fig and I use they, them pronouns. First of all, I love this podcast. I've been watching Glee since around 2010. I always come back to rewatch it, but none of my friends will watch it with me, so there's no one to complain about it to. But listening to you guys makes it feel like I'm talking about it with someone.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the Never Been Kissed episode, and you just mentioned the same issue that we had last time when they did a boys versus girls thing. Kurt wanted to be with the girls, and Zaddy Shu wouldn't let him. Look, you mentioned that Kurt canonically identifies as a cis man, and I think that's probably true, especially with it being written when it was and blah, blah, blah. The heart of the issue lies in the fact that Kurt is being forced for like the 1,000th time this season alone to do something he's uncomfortable with. But let me introduce this idea. I'm a non-binary person, and even before I realized I was non-binary, I really identified with Kurt, and I couldn't figure out why, because I'm a lesbian and he's, well, not. But it's the alienation of existing outside the binary of it all, you know? In duets, Kurt seems to have given himself the middle name Elizabeth. It's incredibly common for non-binary people to, rather than giving themselves a new name, attach another name onto their birth name. A friend of mine was born Clara, but he now goes by Clara Irving, for example. And then later on in the season, Kurt wears a Billy Porter-esque skirt suit to the prom. I don't know, Kurt really gives off non-binary vibes to me, and I really relate to him in reasons related to gender and alienation. Okay, I'm not sure if this made total sense at all, and it got really long, but yeah, Kurt is really important to me, and a lot of the shit he goes through, I went through myself. Thanks, besties! Fig.
That makes total sense to me, absolutely. And I think, I remember seeing Kurt on TV say things like, fashion has no gender, and truly exists outside of, like, the gender binary, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, gender expression and like gender identity is so complex that I totally see this. I completely see how someone would see Kurt and read non-binary into it. And I think that's absolutely valid. One of my favorite moments ever of like all media is someone asked Mark Hamill once if like he thought that Luke Skywalker was gay. And he said something like, you know what, guys? If you identify with Luke and you feel like he's gay, he is gay. Like, who am I to tell you that that's not the way that you should read that? Mm-hmm. You know? So I love that. And that's the cool thing about art, and especially like art like this, is if that's something that resonates with you, that makes total sense. And I totally see that. So I love that. Thank you for pointing that out, Fig.
Yeah.
Well, heck. I love that. Up next, we have a voicemail from Claire.
Hi, my name is Claire, she, her, and I have two distinct thoughts, and I'm really hoping I can get both of them in. Okay, first one is, you know, we've talked about the Asian of it all and how there's, the Glee writers are awful about having just Mike and Tina be Asian number one and two and how they rely on stereotypes. Why do both of their last names have to have Chang? Really? They couldn't think of another? Like, I understand that that is a common last name, but, like, really, like, you did that joke once, like, stop. Okay. And then my second thought is more of a confession. In middle school, I was really obsessed with Kurt, and so something I did was I went through magazines and tore out each of the letters to Courage to make a little magnet to hang inside of my locker. And I printed out a picture, that exact picture of Blaine, to put in my locker. I was an absolute mess. Okay, bye. I love you.
Claire, first of all, you should be friends with the other Claire who emailed us. You guys sound like you're cut from the same cloth. That's adorable. That is so sweet. And wow, let's hear it for Claire's who are mega gleeks in their formative
Claire's
years.
Claire's everywhere. Here, let's round of applause for Claire's. I love that. A lot of people messaged us and they were like, you didn't talk about the courage of it all. And I'm so sorry. I love that. Can we talk about that storyline for a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I think that bravery and courage is like the best quality of all time. And having someone like Blaine come in and just like be so lovely and like, you know, give Kurt that one word that he can like hang on to and find comfort in. Ugh, I love it.
Also, yeah, I don't even think that Mike Chang and Tina Cohen Chang was supposed to be a joke. I truly think they were that lazy.
Yeah.
That they're like, so. What's an Asian last name? Chang? Okay. And then they like, and so they named Tina Cohen Chang for the pilot. And then months later, because the pilot was written way before the rest of the show was written, months later when they get to, I don't even think Mike is given a name until like the fifth episode. Yeah. So by the time they had to name Mike, they were like, I don't know, what's an Asian last name? Chang, I guess. I like truly don't think they thought it through. I think because those two characters are so lazily written.
Absolutely.
That I wouldn't be shocked at all that it didn't even occur to them that they had given them the exact same last name. There's also the fun soap opera plot twist, because we do know that canonically Tina is adopted. It is mentioned exactly one time in season five, I think. Maybe they're related and they don't know.
What?
And then it's that, but we can say they're related by marriage, so it's not incestuous.
Okay. Well, thank you, Claire. Up next, we have an email from Story.
Hello, Lena and Ian. I loved your discussion on Never Been Kissed almost as much as I hated Never Been Kissed itself. I'm kidding. Well, sort of. I do agree that Glee was doing some good stuff with Kurt in this episode, and of course, Blaine's introduction is iconic, but everything about the Beastie Boys plotline and some lingering issues with Kurt's storyline just spoil my enjoyment of the episode completely. First, let me say that I think you nailed everything wrong with the Beastie Boys plotline. Will's whole, you guys are outcasts, you know what Coach Beast is feeling, just rings so hollow in the way that Glee does when it's at its worst. And I absolutely can't stand that the boys don't even really apologize. And don't even get me started on the audacity of Will to think that a friend being really vulnerable and confiding in him is an invitation to plant one on them. And even if Coach Beast did, for some godforsaken reason, want a Will Schuster smooch at that moment, I would still be angry about it. There were a few things that miffed me about the Kurt storyline. I really liked that Glee acknowledged how little Will or any other authority figure actually cares about stopping homophobia at McKinley. Blaine talking to Kurt about how people are just like, well, you're gay, so this is what you have to deal with, was so viscerally impactful to me. Glee kids have all been bullied for the entirety of the show. We already had an episode in season one, Theatricality, where Finn was finally pushed to stand up to the bullying, at least in solidarity, because it had gone too far. But no one has done anything to help Kurt individually or anyone in the Glee Club. Will hasn't done anything. Emma hasn't done anything. Most of the perpetrators of the bullying are on the football team, and Coach Beast hasn't done anything. It just disappoints me to see how badly Glee reacts in the broader narrative and on a character-by-character basis to bullying and homophobia specifically. The little moments where they do make good commentary, Mike and Tina pointing out the racism so many people direct towards them, Kurt calling Will out for dismissing homophobia, Kurt telling Sue that calling him lady is bullying and then her switching it to porcelain, sometimes just makes it even more obvious how often Glee is bad. Anyway, I'm going to stop being negative because Teenage Dream was amazing. And I'm so excited we have Blaine in the show now. I completely agree with Ian that when I think of Glee, I picture up to Blaine. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about The Substitute and Holly Holiday. Thank you. Forever recovering Gleek. Story, she, her. Story, I agree that Glee, they call out their own flaws in characterization and writing a lot of the time. And it does give you a moment of like, oh, I'm glad the writers notice that. But then when they don't change it, you're like, wait, now it's concerning that you're aware that that's a problem. Now it's concerning that you called out how racist the writing towards Tina and Mike is, and it's still racist. And now it's concerning that you called out how the characters don't care about how homophobic everything is, and then the characters are still not caring. I agree 100%.
Yeah, and they have that big plot with Finn where he's like, I'm going to start sticking up for you. Where is Finn?
Right.
Where is Finn? Thank you, Story. Up next, we have a voicemail from Ella.
Hi, my name is Ella, and in middle school, I was a really, really big leak. So this podcast is like everything to me. And you guys just have such good chemistry together. It's like so funny to like listen to you guys talking and hearing like your stories and your jokes. And I genuinely laugh so hard every time there's a new podcast, and I'll even like re-listen to old ones and just like cry because it's so funny. You guys also bring up such good points with the writing, and it's just so fun to listen to. So I hope you guys are doing really well. I've told all my friends about this podcast. It's like the world to me. It's just so amazing. It has everything, and I really appreciate you guys making it. And I think it's like definitely what the world needs right now during this time. And I hope you guys find a lot of success and opportunities in the future, because you guys are so talented and amazing. Bye.
Oh my gosh.
Ella.
Thank you. Thank you.
She also addressed that voicemail, words of appreciation to Ian and Lena, aka Adam Driver's wife. Ella knows what's up. Thank you, Ella. That message is so sweet. The fact that Ian and I get to do this amazing thing is such an awesome thing in my life. And, you know, the icing on the cake is having just the most incredible listeners in the world be so kind and awesome and have conversations with us every day. Like, it's such an amazing, beautiful, incredible thing. And I, like, thank you guys for being here. I love you guys. I may cry.
Thank you guys. Our next episode on The Substitute comes out on a Wednesday. If you want to leave us a voicemail with your thoughts on The Substitute or a past episode that we've covered, you can do so
like Acapellas.
If you want to leave us your thoughts on Acapellas or Chelsea Staub, you can do so on anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can send us an email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Thank you, guys. Go spread some mini glee.
Go spread some mini glee. While you guys are leaving, Ian and I are going to play the relative pitch
game. Oh, my gosh. I forgot again.
You always forget.
Oh, wait. I have another addendum, too. Okay.
Oh,
well,
what's the addendum?
It's the WandaVision finale song, but let's play this first.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think you should sing Start Me Up.
Okay.
Oh, we're halfway there. Oh,
I know that you said start me up, but that's what came to me. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so I said that the. I said that that was an A. That is the right key.
Oh, good job.
Oh my gosh, relative pitch!
Glad for you. Okay, my turn.
Okay, I think there's only one song you can really do from this, because I'm not going to make you do One Love, and I'm not going to make you do Stop in the Name of Love, and you just gave me the only other good one. So, you are doing Teenage Dream.
Okay. So it's the Glee version. It's not the Katy Perry version. I'm not sure that they're different, but I think it makes...
Just get Darren Criss in your brain.
Let's go all the way tonight. No regrets. That's my final.
Let's
go all the way tonight.
Sing it again.
Let's go all the way tonight. No regrets. Just love.
Okay.
We can't dance.
So you're saying it's an F.
Let's go all.
Yeah.
Teenage Dream Glee. Ooh, I don't think that was right.
You were one step too high. That's an
God
E flat.
God damn it.
I guess I have relative pitch and you don't.
No! Step free.
And finally, our final thing of this minisode, if you don't want WandaVision spoilers, goodbye.
Here's a kiss on your forehead for you, those of you leaving.
We got, last week I started to do a jukebox musical on WandaVision, but we hadn't seen the finale yet. And then yesterday, Celiac Lesbian tagged us in a TikTok.
God bless you, Celiac Lesbian.
The finale has finally come out, and she said, this is the song for the finale.
It's so sweet.
So For context, everyone, this is when Wanda and Vision, the best scene of the whole finale, when the hex is closing in around them and they're talking to each other and she's saying, like, Vision, you are my hope, you are my sadness, but most of all, you are my love. And then he says to her, we've said goodbye before. And she says, so it only reasons that we will say hello again. And here is a little snippet of the song. And I love that it's like all 50s feeling too. So it's like full circle. You guys, it makes me want to cry.
I know.
So that is the final song in our WandaVision Jukebox musical. I'll put it on my playlist. If you have a playlist that you made, feel free to add it on to the end. All right. That's our mini-sode.
Love Sweet you guys. Deal. Have a great Monday and a great rest of your week. We believe in you. Have some courage. You're the best in the whole world. Here's a kiss on your forehead.
Oh, yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.